From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, director of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Welcome, St. Mark's, 5 o'clock. Happy Easter. Will you stand with us?
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that all the things that he had said to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
I apologize. I got overwhelmed by seeing all of you at the 5 o'clock. I think the most we've had in the pandemic has been 5 to 10 since we started back. And to have all of you here tonight is just fantastic. And then to have the band sort of keep going with when the saints go marching in, not only did the guitarist get some time, but the pianist. It was just, thank you, Cameron. Thank you, dudes. So it's just nice to have you here. A year ago, I was driving up thinking, what a difference a year makes. A year ago, we were you weren't here. I came in the morning and stood up here and moved a piece of furniture we've had in the church. It's a kneeler. It has some needlepoint, and in the needlepoint it says, "Spare us, good Lord." And this piece of furniture has been at this church since its beginning, since 1939. And I moved it, and I set it up behind, in over here by the altar, kind of in between, and I just sat in here by myself because I had a key and nobody else was going to come. And I did a thing. I did something. I prayed the Great Litany. The Great Litany is in your prayer book, and I don't think we've used it at the 5 before, but it is a great set of prayers for the church. Henry VIII, as a part of his deal, you know, it's not just the divorce, right? His deal was to have the Great Litany prayed in English so that the people could hear it. So the Great Litany has a long tradition in our Episcopal life. Anyway, so I'm up here praying the Great Litany, and I'm, for those of you who know me well, I'm fairly empirical. I don't really traffic in mysteries of the Bible revealed. I am fairly sensible and rational about my religious experiences. But while I was doing that 1 year ago in here, I had this sort of image in my head, or this idea, or this vision, that all the people who had called St. Mark's home over the course of its 80 plus years were here, filled this space. They were coming in through the doors, they were up in the balcony, they were here. And suddenly I felt them near me, around me, and holding me. The saints of St. Mark's holding me. And it was so powerful. I don't know if it was the anxiety of what was going on in the pandemic or the unknown future or the all-encompassing, unrelenting fear that so many people had, but I don't know. I wept. I began to cry. And I just cried. And I kept trying to pray the litany and kept trying to go, and I kept feeling this presence of whatever you want to call it. And I realized something in that moment, that all of us are the saints of St. Mark's, just temporary, that what you're doing now is preparing this place for later, and those people prepared it for you and kept it going and kept it ready. And so this place is not, even though the doors are closed, this place is open, and this place is full, and this place is alive. And that's kind of kept me going throughout the year as we have not seen you, as we've been worried, as we get concerned that you won't come back. And the vision of the saints of St. Mark's has really kind of been a sustaining vision. I tell you that to hold intention, or to hold that thought, with about 18 months ago, a little bit before the pandemic, a friend of ours suffered a catastrophic cardiac event, and was had to have life support withdrawn. And so his wife and son went and said their goodbyes on Friday, and I volunteered to go sit with him. While they did that, he was going to donate some of his organs to somebody else, and so he was just going to be there at the hospital alone and dying. So I said, well, I'll go sit with him. That's easy for me. So I did. I sat with him. They withdrew life support, and he died. And 2 weeks ago, we were over at his widow's house to kind of connect, and her son is, I'm really quite sure how to put this about her son. Oh, he's the devil, because he can play ping pong in a way that's a little Forrest Gumpy, and I am 54, and I got beat over and over again by a 12-year-old at ping pong, and I'm bitter. I'm bitter about this young man and his ping pong skills, and so I will tell you that that he's marked. I'm coming back for him. But anyway, we're playing ping pong, we're having a good evening, and we sit down and we're kind of just talking, and he, the wife says, you know, he wasn't a very church-going person, but he kept reminding us that there's no such thing as zero. And I that kind of sat with me a little bit. There's no such thing as zero. It's a concept we use in math, but it's not real. There's not nothing, as she said, he said. There's not nothing. So on Thursday night, we were here, and Cameron and her husband, Matt, provided us music, and we were very solemn on our Monday, Thursday night. We kept the time. We stripped the altar. We left the place empty. But as I was sitting up here and we were going through the motions of being the church, I looked down at my program, and we had used the crown of thorns, Jesus' crown of thorns, as the image for the front of the program. And as I looked at the crown of thorns, I realized that if you take the crown of thorns and you turn it this way, it makes a zero. And the pain and the anguish and the difficulty and the awfulness of humanity on display when they took that crown and set it on Jesus' head, when you take it off, you realize that it's nothing. Because we are people who believe in a God who does not mock us with a night that never ends, to quote the second rector of our church, Jim Clement. But we are of a God who gives us hope that even though we go through a crown of thorns, there is something. There is something. And today is the day where we read you this story of this garden and this tomb and this weird detail in the Gospel of John about Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved in a foot race, and Peter is slow, and the disciple who Jesus loved gets to go in the tomb. The disciple who Jesus loved outruns Peter. They're constantly telling you the disciple who Jesus loved is better than Peter. I'm teasing. Don't put that in. Hope that's not on the recording. We'll edit that out. But you get what I mean. They write this weird story, and then they just leave Mary there. Bye. We're going to go to our home. There's Mary, and she has this moment where she is so sad because she thinks, as I did last year, that there's nothing. That he's gone. That the pandemic will never end. That our jobs won't come back. That our friends will die. That we won't make it through. and she hears someone call her name. And she responds, when she realizes who it is, "Teacher." What we have are 2,000 years of teachers, saints who have come before us, all of us, who have taught us this faith and have reminded us again and again and again and again through wars and pandemics and plagues and through all of it that there isn't nothing. There is something. And we respond the only way that we can respond, which is alleluia. Thank God there's nothing. There is love. There is hope. There are saints. There are people. There is us. We are together. We are the church, and we will always keep the church going. No matter if it's just me standing up here, or if it's a couple of us over a couple of weeks, or if it's all of you tonight, we will keep this story alive because it's true. There is no zero. There is no nothing. So, alleluia. You get another go. You get another chance to love and to hope and to pray and to say you're sorry and to ask for forgiveness and to give forgiveness and to love. And I get an opportunity to learn to play ping pong better and beat that little kid. Because that's what I'm going to do. But until then, thank you for making this your church home, for being the next generation of saints who will come in and comfort a priest as he or she wonders, really? There is something, right? And the saints will respond, "Alleluia, he is risen." Yes. Amen.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.